Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your
the
brain
battle
masseur.
For America is on.
The world is anticipating Trump's Iran sanctions announcement planned for this coming Monday, August 24, 2026. Economic D-Day, he calls it. Iran's reaction is as expected, but what might China do? Socialism has become a significant movement in the United States, rising to counter MAGA. The upcoming midterms are shaping up into a contest between Make America Great Again and Make America Into Cuba. The SAVE Act must be passed into law. That has to happen. Every sentient being unobstructed by TDS, well, I guess even many who are infected with that virus, agree that only citizens can be allowed to participate in our elections. Another reduction in fentanyl deaths, 22% decline. September 11 looms, lessons and memories recalled. Okay, friends, foes, and family, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The world is holding its breath, waiting for Trump to make his Iran sanctions announcement planned for this coming Monday. Economic D-Day, Iran's reaction is just as we might anticipate. Iran bloviates devastating response from land, sea, air, and cyber. Iran will marshal all their mighty forces and destroy the great Satan in one sweeping, epic, massive, all-out attack. Right. In their dreams, that is until they're interrupted by our bombs and missiles, the thunder of stealth fighters reverberating in their hearts, and the silent sneaking up of the drones, and they wake sickened by how close they came to the nukes they coveted, that they would use to blackmail the world and make all the world bend and submit. They will never stop until they've bent the whole world to their will. And their will is that the great Satan should be destroyed, and the little Satan, or at the very least, driven off into the sea. Thank God for President Trump. I keep asking myself, how can any regime continue when their unit of money, most closely corresponding to the U.S. dollar, is the real, by the way, but they commonly use the tomen as their unit of measure, which is, by the way, 10 reals. A million reals is equivalent to a United States 67 cents. A million tomens, which would be 10 million reals, equals $6.67 U.S. Now think of what the prophecy hex would do if it hit $6.66. Inflation hit 66% above the preceding 12-month period, you know. So, and food and beverages are priced over 128% higher year over year. This cannot be sustained. The people need to get some relief from these wicked, wicked people. The people are suffering. But the regime, well, they seem to be fat and sassy. Well taken care of, full of flesh. With all our efforts to separate these monsters from access to their booty, they continue to survive. And to do well, it appears. I think Trump has been asking the same question I've been asking, and that many others of you have asked, I'm sure. But I think he's discovered how they are continuing to stand in this fight. We know that China is helping Iran evade U.S. sanctions, which is aiding and abetting our nation's enemy. A nation engaged in hostilities against us and really the whole world. Not only does China collaborate with DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, Yeah, look at my notes here and all the indications of collaboration between those Chinese Communist Party and the communists here in America. Plant spies in our country through a fake marriage scam and then drop their babies here to get U.S. citizenship and something called birth tourism. They're actively propping up the Iranian regime while at war with the U.S., double entendre intended. Think about it. Russia is providing weapons, drone components, and explosives with a long-standing military cooperation with Iran. Belarus, you know, Beset caught them red-handed in supporting and helping Iran. Turkey, India, that's private, not government sanctioned, so far as we know. Iraq is government sanctioned, or was, but they're beginning to pull back a little bit. Pakistan, in the past, big time, but backing up of late, it seems. But how do you trust any of these people? Trump's announcements are expected to be aimed not only at Iran, but also at countries, banks, shippers, intermediaries that keep Iran commerce alive. And I've been wondering, again, how Iran is surviving punishing inflation and the loss of, what, $500 million a day in oil revenue? It's not the first time a president has weaponized the economy to pull down a socialist threat. Reagan brought the USSR to economic collapse by setting American industry loose on a military buildup, floating the plan to move forward on the Strategic Defense Initiative, nicknamed Star Wars, by the way, in Russia. Simply couldn't keep up because a socialist communist economy cannot keep pace with a robust free economy based on biblical principles of commerce or economics. Come Sunday night for a message showing the biblical economic model and learn why it's anti-communist and why communists are anti-Bible. The bounty on U.S. soldiers continues in effect, but does not seem to have had any effect. The high-profile August 2026 bounty has not been linked to any U.S. deaths in available reporting as of late August 2026. U.S. fatalities in the current conflict stem from broader military exchanges, not this incentive. And I think it stands at something like 18 to, I don't know, almost 2,000 or more. Socialism has become a significant movement in the United States, rising as a counter to MAGA. Listen to them as they frame their campaigns. It's all about getting back at Trump. The upcoming midterms are shaping up into a contest between Make America Great Again and Make America Into Cuba. In the last two shows, I showed that communism and socialism are the same economic system in which the government takes the produce of your labor and distributes it according to, well, their will and their good judgment. What differentiates socialism and communism is said to be only the tactics whereby communism is established in a community or in a culture. Communism is actually the more honest of the two. Communism takes power over the people's lives and property by acts of violence up front. Very straightforward. Socialism works to get communist economics into power within an existing government, often using the democratic process. Or in other words, the people are tricked into voting for it. But very soon, when the people begin waking up to what's happened and they try to get their personal freedom back and their rights to the ownership of the product of their own labor, well, the smile on socialism quickly disappears and the socialists weaponize government, the power you've given them, to oppress and subdue the people and to beat you into subjection. You can vote your way into socialism, but you have to fight your way out of it. So there's this group embedded within the Democratic Party. It's called the Democratic Socialists of America, DSA. And it's being touted as some kind of new thing. You know, American-style socialism, never been tried before. Really? Listen, there's no such thing as American socialism. Unless you're referring back to the William Bradford Plymouth Rock experiment after the Mayflower ported there some few hundred years ago. Yeah, you know, the Thanksgiving people, the guys that did the Thanksgiving thing with the Indians and all that, those people, the Mayflower Compact, all remember all that? Well, William Bradford was their leader, their spiritual leader and their civil leader, and they agreed together to implement this idea of from each according to his ability to each according to his need, the socialist mantra. the one coined by the God-hating father of communism, Karl Marx, none other than Bradford's colony implemented a self-imposed communist economic system, that is, socialism, which came to be called communism. But the settlers hated the unfair taking of the produce of their labor and then giving it to someone who was not willing to labor by the sweat of his brow in the fields with those who had a mind to work. You know, the shirkers. Well, the producers were disincentivized from working, and the shirkers were incentivized for shirking. The incentive to work was gone, but the incentive to shirk was strong, requiring communist economies to come in with the whip and chair to beat you into submission. Bradford and the settlers discarded the unbiblical and unnatural scheme utterly after a short, miserably failed experiment. Our early settlers learned the same lesson a wise mother once taught her children about socialism. She offered her oldest son $10 to clean the restroom. When he was done, she laid 10 $1 bills on the table. The kid had worked hard and was looking forward to the fruits of his labor and was getting very excited. His mother called his brother and his sister to join them at the table and proceeded to distribute the wealth. She gave each sibling $2. The older brother, who worked hard for that $10, washed and said, they didn't do any of the work. Then Mom took $4 and set it aside, apparently for herself, and handed the kid $2. You know, they worked so hard cleaning the restroom for $10. And of course he protested, but she explained, well, this makes everyone equal. But you got $4, he protested. She answered, well, I'm the government, and it takes a lot of money to govern the household and make sure everybody gets $2. The next time she offered to pay $10 for her oldest son to clean the restroom, he said, give the job to my brother. His brother said, give the job to my sister. His sister said, keep your job. Happily, the mother was not a tyrant, for she let it go at that. But if you were in Russia, as I heard testified to hundreds of times when I visited there 10 years in a row, it was not so easy to overcome socialism. The same if you were Venezuelan or Cuban or Chinese. Hey, kiddos, and from me, that's anyone under 50, wink, wink. Take it from a survivor of the Cold War era who watched Khrushchev pound the podium with his shoe, shouting, we will bury you. Karl Marx described socialism as merely a phase of communism. He referred to it as, quote, the first phase of communist society, end quote, and contrasted it with the, quote, higher phase of communist society, end quote. But you see, it's communism nonetheless. Lenin spoke of these phases as socialism and communism, and essentially said the same thing Karl Marx did, quote, communism in its first phase, or first stage, cannot as yet be fully mature economically and entirely free from traditions or traces of capitalism, end quote. Okay, my friends, it looks like I've run out of time for my first segment. You hold on, please. I'll be right back.
Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Don't let them fool you into thinking socialism is in any meaningful way different from communism. The Soviet Empire was called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Remember when John Lennon taught you that in his song, Back in the USSR? He told the Russians, you don't know how lucky you are back in the USSR. Yeah, well, I talked to these people personally, up close and friendly, and let me tell you, they did not consider themselves lucky. So many times it made me weep. They would ask me, where were you? Where was they would talk to me about dreams they had of the American soldier coming into their home and saying, I've come to rescue you. Interestingly, John Lennon's album, Imagine, was officially released by the Soviet label Melodia in 1977. I guess those commies like that bit about imagine there is no heaven. Communism was birthed in the heart of a rager, Psalm 2, Karl Marx, who hated God and Christians. Fox News hired Beacon Research, a Democrat pollster company, and Shaw and Company Research, a Republican pollster company, and among other things, inquired into the favorability of socialism among American voters today. The national poll conducted July 17 to 20 in 2026 found that 52% of Democratic registered voters that were surveyed were favorable toward socialism, while 43% were unfavorable. 15% were strongly favorable and 37% somewhat favorable. In the same randomized battery, only 41% of Democrats viewed capitalism favorably, while 56% viewed it unfavorably. Separately, 59% of Democrats viewed the Democratic Socialists of America favorably. Huh, I guess there is a contingency out there that qualifies their sympathy for socialism by whether or not it's American. But as I pointed out in the last segment, there is no such thing as American socialism. By contrast, 85% of Republican voters expressed an unfavorable attitude toward socialism, strongly unfavorable 67%, and somewhat unfavorable 17%. Back in the moral majority days, remember that? Some of us do. Jerry Falwell led a movement that capitalized on America's deep roots in Christianity that appealed to those among us who believe that America is, at its cultural core, Christian. He stirred up a movement that found a home in the Republican Party, which quickly embraced God and country patriotism. It was a natural fit and invited believers who were long displaced from politics to have a place in the political debate. God-fearing patriots looking for refuge from the increasingly vulgar and hateful attacks on our Christian heritage, which we could see correlated with an ongoing erosion of our liberties, rallied and began to join the Republican Party in great numbers. Many in the GOP were not comfortable with this, but the swell of Christian support for Reagan overwhelmed them, and they knew that the Christian conservative was a force to be reckoned with. The Democrats had already shifted far from conservative Christian sentiment until finally it voted God out of its party platform. I watched this event in 2012 and was appalled. ABC, of course, attempted to frame the story as one about how they quickly restored God in Jerusalem into the party platform. But I watched that convention, and that's a long ways away from the truth. This is 2012, by the way, leading into Obama's second term. You know, the guy who in 2006, campaigning for his first term, declared, quote, "America is no longer a Christian nation," end quote, pregnant pause, at least not just. He repeated this sentiment in his 2009 inaugural address. By 2012, his party was prepared to remove the mention of God from their party platform. In fact, they did. They decided by a voice vote, and it sounded to me like the resolution to remove mention of God from the platform passed. It was close at first, but repeated efforts to push the vote in the direction the party moderator wanted were actually working the other way. The voices for removing God were getting a little bit louder. Well, when it was clear his efforts were failing, he simply decided the issue, gaveled it, boom, done. And that's how they restored God in Jerusalem to the party platform. And that was the day the Democrat Party became the undemocratic party of America and voted God out of their platform. Their own. And somebody said, no, they didn't really. But I know. I hear you. I'm just telling you. I watched that. I saw it. I've got my opinion about it. They did. Their own beloved democracy died. They killed it. And now look at what they're dealing with. As Antichrist sentiment gained increased influence in the Democratic Party, found a home there. Communism found increasing acceptance among them. The two parties became increasingly polarized, with the Republicans becoming the Christ is King Party and the Democrats becoming the Government is King Party, so that today Republicans embrace the truth that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, while the Democrats have hard time even saying that. Well, some of the top Democratic leaders, can't even bring themselves to quote the Declaration of Independence on that point. And they pulled fully away from that proposition and even declare with horror that anyone could have such a notion that, well, that would be un-American. That's what they were saying. These people actually, these Christ as King people, they actually believe their rights come from God. You remember that? Listen, friend, it's written in our founding document, the first founding document of this country. It makes perfect sense that the Democratic Party has become the home of communism. That's what you get when you remove God from government. All you've got left is government, which is the goal of communism. Ask Karl Marx. The SAVE Act must be passed into law. That has to happen. Every sentient being uninstructed by TDS, and even many who are infected with that virus, agrees that only citizens should be allowed to participate in our elections. We are, it's an 80-20 issue, friend. We are required to show proof of citizenship by a passport when we travel, and proof of identity and age to buy cigarettes, for heaven's sake, or alcohol, or to even drive. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. People have managed to get the ID for all of these concerns, but they can't get one for voting. Non-citizens are not aligned under the laws of America, and so they do not qualify as having the right of consent of the governed, because they're not governed by our government. Even though as guests here, they are subject to our laws when within our borders, and our laws say this: only U.S. citizens of this government can exercise voting rights here. And that's what the law says. The attempt to get this passed through a continuing resolution has been used by Thune and other enemies of the people to stall and crawfish from the actual point. The American people demand laws be put in place and enforced that protect our elections from illegal ballots and balloting and voting and so on, period. Nuke the filibuster and put some real pressure on these phony gopers to bend to the will of the American people, and do it today. Yeah. While there remains an America to come to. Take a look at Bartolomo's interview with John Thune here, linked in my notes. Go to 1 minute. Maria asked why the Republican-led Senate has not passed more of the president's agenda. She read Trump's statement, quote, Senate Majority Leader John Thune should immediately fire the parliamentarian. We have every right to change her and should do so immediately. As long as she's there, we will never get our desperately needed Save America Act approved and put into full force in effect. Now, I don't agree with the parliamentarian's obstruction of the Senate. There is a funding concern attached to the policy provision that directs states to protect our elections, but it's a stretch in some measure, and I've studied the Senate procedures and rules Thune keeps appealing to in order to dodge and to avoid addressing this issue. And it comes down to this. I understand what made Pelosi formidable. She politically strong-armed her party members into conformity with the Democrats. Thune doesn't do that. He does not have the fight in him to serve the American people. The question should, however, be taken seriously by Thune and the other waffling gopers. And one way to expose them or call them up or out would be for him to take action to end the filibuster. Thune has admitted he doesn't have enough GOP support to do that. Well, what irks me about Thune is his lazy attitude toward his job. He could remove the rule that allows crying filibuster to shift the burden to 60 votes by reestablishing the old rule that a filibuster requires that the Senate stays in session until the matter's resolved. Those rules are on the books too, you know. I did a deep dive into this issue, and you can access a copy of my research by going to brainmassage.net. Using the contact menu link, completing the fields, including your email address, so I can send you the PDF. Remember, at the bottom, you need to submit your request. A little button there says submit. You hit that. In your message field, tell me you want my study on what must be done to pass the SAVE Act. I'll send that to you free. By the way, if you select yes under please include me on the Brain Massage and Brain Massage Live notifications list, you don't have to give me your text number, your phone number. I'll use your email address. but you'll automatically receive the Brain Massage Show delivered to your inbox on Friday night when I post. And then you'll be notified when I go on live stream for Brain Massage Live. Do you want a clear example of Thune's attitude toward an issue that 80% of the American people want and demand? Well, listen to this.
This is an 80-20 issue, right? Right. People want to be able to have rules in place that you show ID, that you have proof of citizenship to vote. How come we can't get this across the finish line?
Well, because we don't have the votes.
Well, there you go. Mr. Chuckles. That's his new name. Thune is Mr. Chuckles. This is, it infuriates me. This is what he says to you, America. Listen to this arrogant chuckle.
Well, because we don't have the votes.
This man thinks it's funny. He thinks this is some sort of game or something. Get the gavel out of that man's hands. He doesn't deserve it. The only way he uses the gavel is to keep Trump from having his appointments confirmed. That's the only way he uses the gavel, and then he doesn't even use it. He has one of his lackeys stand in for him. The man's worthless. It's a life or death for America issue. This decides whether we have a government of, by, and for the people, or whether we are ruled by tyrants who chuckle about not having the votes. Well, how about you answer to the people? 80% of the people who want this done, and do what you must do to obey the people, which is obedience to the Constitution that you swore to uphold. And do the work, you lazy good-for-nothing but obstructing Trump scoundrel. No, I'm serious. This man makes me sick to my stomach. Here's the thing. If he really cared about the consent of the governed and really believed this nation is a kingdom of kings, he'd do what he had to do to remain in power. So you can bet old Chuckles is working hard for the big money donors who put him in office. He clearly does not see himself as beholden to the Constitution or to we the people. So who exactly does Thune work for? Another reduction in fentanyl deaths, 22% decline. And September 11 looms, lessons and memories recalled. Oh, these 2 points will have to wait for Saturday, almost said Saturday Night Live, for Brain Massage Live that will go live Saturday night, probably at about 8 p.m. I've lit the lamps to the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. You can email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, fill in the form there, and click send. You can leave a message for me in our listener response hotline once I get that hotline number back up and running. I explained it last week. Don't have time to go into it now, but to say, God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Your next brain massage is scheduled for Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday at 7 a.m.